Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Where do you find peace? Where do you find a place where you can be centered? Where do you find a place that you can go to shut out the noise? Maybe we don't really think much about that in our life. Maybe we don't really consider how we're grounded, so to speak. Grounded meaning having our toes in the soil and feeling like we have a place in the universe that we understand. I read earlier this month that we're living in, this is a new sort of term that I'd seen, we're living in the post-truth era. Have any of you heard that? The post-truth era. Meaning that we can't really figure out what is true. We can't figure out what's true in our news or in our facts or in our understanding. Now, maybe we can. I'm sure some of you have the right opinions. All the different conversations that happen sort of out there about global warming, about politics, about even scientific understanding, all these things, the people are saying we have a hard time figuring out what's true. So much so, there's even websites that are dedicated. You might know one of them. Sometimes people call it Snoop, sometimes it's called Snopes. It's a place where you can go to see if what you've read about is true. And even some people say they're not really true. I think sometimes we have to ask that question about where is our center? Where are we grounded from? And in some ways, that's asking us, where do we touch the truth? I remember the smell of rolls on Christmas Eve and sometimes Christmas Day. The smell of my grandmother's rolls as they would be made, and as we would walk into her house, and there that was. And it was a lovely smell. And they were just simple sort of rolls that you'd have. All of you probably had them in the past, just sort of folded over. You have to raise the dough twice. There's butter on them. They're not really healthy. but man, they're delicious. And sometimes, you know, those family traditions hold us to something. And for all of you, it might be something different. A place that you go, or a certain snack, or a certain piece of candy, or a certain tradition. And I remember the last year that my grandmother made rolls. And it's kind of a funny story, and some of you might have heard me tell this before, but she made the rolls from some flour that had been in her shelf for quite a while. She was 97, and she couldn't see too well, and she made the rolls. And to her, they looked perfect. And when they were put on the table, those of us who were there, my father, my uncle, his wife, my cousin, and a couple other people, when they were put on the table, the rolls had weevils in them. Not just a few, but little specks of bugs. All throughout the rolls. Grandmother's rolls were not true. My Uncle Bob just gently said, "Those rolls look great." And he took one, and no one said a word. They didn't taste any different, by the way. That was the last time she was able to make a meal for us. And I remember that because it's a place that I can go to where I remember smiles and gentleness and all those different things. It's a place I can even go in meditation when I'm praying to God because it's a place of comfort when I try to find that center. If you go to Bethlehem, there is a church that's very old. It's a church that stands and is built with stone and has been through war after war and conflict after conflict and leader after leader. And people from throughout the world have pilgrimed to that site for centuries. And if you go there, they don't have a comfortable entrance. In fact, to get in, you have to bend over practically to crawl into the church, because that's the way it's always been done. You bend over and you walk through a long, almost tunnel. And when you come into the church, you stand up and you see images and beauty in some place that's very old. If you look at the walls, you can see the scorch marks from where others had burned the church at different points in history. There are ancient tapestries and ancient paintings, and there are thousands of people waiting in line, all of whom have crawled into the church through that entrance. When they take you in, if you stand in line long enough, you can go back behind the altar, and they take you down a couple of flights of stairs, and you can go to a place, and there is a great elaborate golden brass star with some glass in the center. And underneath that glass is a rock and some dirt. And historians say, maybe, possibly, you have to know whenever you go to Israel or to there, it's always maybe and possibly, because they don't really know for sure. But that was most likely pretty near to the place where Jesus was born. And people come from throughout the world to touch that place. And when you go in, if you're invited, when you go in, you can kneel down, you can go forward, and you can kiss the star that is there. I told the kids at the earlier service, I gave them a quiz to see whether they thought I kissed it or not. About half thought I did and half thought I didn't, because there were about 1,500 people who kissed it right before I came in. So I touched it. But part of it is that's a place where people have worshipped for centuries in the hopes of just getting a little bit closer to God. It isn't magical. It doesn't cause anything to happen to you when you're there. It's a place of pilgrimage where you go to find that peace. I think sometimes Christmas Eve services or Christmas, we gather to tell a story that's very familiar to us. To hear the same hymns that we sing year after year, to be in touch with something. In much the same way, we're just like being in that place in Bethlehem where we're reaching out to touch that star. To know the light of God shining in the darkness. To be in darkness is to be unable to orient. Have you ever been in a place that's really dark? You know how it can be quite frightening when the lights go out. To be in that place is frightening and scary, and you don't always know where you are. When the light comes on, you can see what's up and what's down and what's sideways. You can touch and you can feel. Each day, we see somewhere between 20 and 30,000 images. Did you know that? On our phones, on our computers, on our televisions, we are exposed to 20 to 30,000 different images, sometimes advertisements, sometimes stories, all kinds of things. The workday has extended, because if you have a cell phone or a smartphone, your work can be in touch with you almost anywhere you might be. Our days are extended because there is more and more light in our homes, in our streets, that often keep us awake. We are pulled in all kinds of different directions with our relationships, with social media, with all the different things in our life. And man, it can be disorienting. And so how do we find that place of peace? How do we find that light? I think each of us are going to have different answers to that question, but I think that's such an important thing for us. In our readings today, we hear these powerful words, grace came to us in Christ Jesus. Grace. Grace is blessing. Grace is forgiveness. Grace is relationship with God. That's what comes to us in Christ. The light shines in the darkness. Angels are speaking. We hear these powerful images and these powerful words, and sometimes I think we forget, I forget, what they're really calling us to. Sometimes when we find that center, it lets us do the right things in our life. It gives us clarity. It can even give us hope to reach out. To reach out and to help others and to serve. Where are you finding that center? Where are you finding that peace? Where are you finding that light that pushes back the darkness? Tomorrow will be a strange day. It's going to be 68. Now, if you're from Florida, that's normal, right? But for us here, we're sort of wondering, why isn't it cold? Where's the snow? You know, we always hope for that. But tomorrow's also a new day. In fact, every tomorrow is a new day for us. It's where that grace gives us that opportunity to be renewed. I remember walking out from that place in Bethlehem after having touched the star. And what was so amazing to me were the thousands of people. People from India, from Germany, from Japan, from Ethiopia, from South Africa, from England, from the United States. People from all throughout the world seeking that same truth, that same place that I was seeking. And I thought, why don't we find it more often? Today is Christmas. It's a time when we recall the Christ child coming into the world. It's a time when we come to this place to touch and to see and to remember. And I think deep down, our souls yearn for that. And so tomorrow is a new day for you. And you can go forward renewed because you found some truth. You found some grounding. Go forth, as our hymn will say at the end, go forth and go pronouncing God's joy. Give hope to the poor, give hope to the needy, give hope to the cast out, to the blind, to the lame, to all those that we list year after year, time after time. It is us who are to give hope, to give that light, to give that peace, taking it from here. And then others will know. I'll never forget those roles. And I'll never forget the last time I had the roles. And maybe someday I'll make the same mistake. Maybe someone will have a story to tell about me. But what I really remember is the love that she put in them. The love that she put in there because it was a love that for her was born of God. And through those roles, she shared with us. So may your life be filled with that same love. A love that we find on this night as we touch once again the story of Christ coming into the world. And may you share it with others. Amen.